Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Popping and started. It's 10:03 on a Wednesday night. You know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Farms. You know how it gets down. And I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. So, we'll start off with the prelims. And, you know, I usually like to start off with a little intro, but I'm just going to do what I do. If you find me on Facebook, george.mango904. You can find me on Twitter, hashtag soundoff97413. You can also call in at 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. You could also go to my website, which is Sound Off Forums. Sorry, www. www.soundoffforums. That's 3fs.com.net.org, however you want to do it. I'll be updating the site pretty soon. Lots of information that's out there. But I want to throw that out there to you guys. So, we'll do Ephesians 6, 6 through 13. New King James Version, not with eye service and man pleasers, but the servant of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever so doeth good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and be in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darknesses in this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take up to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand within the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. I'm going to go ahead and kick it into this clip, and here you go.
Buried deep within the pages of that bill is a controversial piece of legislation that we...
Well, I know y'all wondering why I played that clip. Well, I played it to give you an understanding, because, you know, I don't like to just, like, pop up with, you know, current events. I don't like doing that, you know, because everybody, you know, everybody's up on their thing. And like I said before, back in the day, I mean, back in a couple shows ago, I said we've got what we call, what I call, you can coin phrase that if you want, America amnesia. See, nobody even worried about Monsanto's no more. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. But, hey, from what I hear, people are fighting back, though. They're fighting back. They are fighting back. You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? They are fighting back. And how are they fighting back? They're fighting back by trying to get organic seeds. Now, these must be some very slick Veronius people, because from my information, Monsanto's was they were doing some devastation with these farmers. Okay, you could pull up Monsanto's by itself and find out all the dirt they've been doing for years. Okay, but you remember we went over that Monsanto thing. I'll go over it for you again. No problem. I'm here for y'all, because the amnesia that y'all go to, it's okay. It's okay, baby. It's okay, boo boo. It is okay. Okay. So, let me read this news article. The news article is coming from foodfirst.org, okay? And it's called Monsanto's Protective Act of Betrayal. This was April 10, 2013, by Ashley Pinkerton. On March 26, 2013, President Obama signed a H.R. 933. I'll give you the bill specific. I'll give the bill specific. So, man, I was on a roll, but I should have. Okay, let's just go with that for right now. The Agriculture Appropriation Bill to suspend bill that prevents a federal government shutting down by providing funding to departments such as the USDA and the FDA, along with other agencies through 2013 fiscal year. However, a Pinnacle addition tacked onto the bill, titled Farmers assurance provision, Section 735, has food justice advocations and consumers as in uproar. The provision prohibits federal courts from banning the sale and planting of genetically modified organisms, GMOs, even if they are provided to the damage, even if they're proven to damage to human health. Oh, boy, the monstrosity of that. Okay, so even if it's proven to damage human health, they are able to still do whatever they want to do. Okay, well, we'll come back to that. The signing of the H.R. 933 and the ballot corporation's favoritism founded in Section 735 is a serious transgression. One should not be taken lightly. Here are some important information to consider in thinking about the Monsanto Property Act, Protection Act, excuse me. Number one, Monsanto's product has a history of being dangerous and eventually being banned. Upholding over Monsanto's Protection Act in the latest of the long history of controversy surrounding the biotech giant, the largest seed company in the world, and one of the most largest chemical companies. Monsanto has been creating a pyramid of products that have been banned in several countries because of its proven damage to human health and environment, including recombination, Bro9 growth hormones, which is RBGH. While the RBGH increases milk production in cows, it also causes painful meningitis infections and reproduction problems in the animals. Currently, the hormone has been banned in Europe, the European Union, and in Canada because of the large amount of pus and blood found in the RBGH milk, and because the potential link of cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to get you to understand. I'm going to stop right there, and then I'm going to go back to it. I want y'all, ladies and gentlemen, to understand this. And I want you to hear me good, please, because it's very important that we stand up and understand that these things are dangerous to us. It affects us in ways you have no idea. No idea how it affects the human body. Now, we don't know, and I'm saying this not to scare you off, but we do not know what milk products we are drinking, because Monsanto's and the FDA say that they don't have to. You see what I'm saying? Any GMO foods do not have to be labeled as of yet. Okay? They don't have to be labeled. This is genetically modified foods, okay? Or organisms. They do not have. So when we're drinking these gallons of milk and we're giving this milk to our children, do we know what milk is coming from? Are we getting good milk, or are we getting milk that's been chemically modified by these cows that have blood and pus in it? Now, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Would you willingly drink milk with pus and blood in it? Because let me say this to you. First of all, First and foremost, it is a sin to drink blood. I just want to put that off on top, okay? Because Jesus says that you cannot drink or even partake in rituals. So, and I know y'all saying George is a far-fetched. Listen, I'm far-fetching this one. I'm going to admit that. But the idea or the concept is not far-fetched because they're telling us that this company does it by omission. They just do it. The hell to it. Who cares? The consumer wants milk. We don't give them milk. Okay. Now that you got that down, let's continue on. The PCB found in many products is among another Monsanto's creation that was banned in the United States due to its high toxicity and the linkage of cancer, but not because of being dumped into tons of rivers all over the country, causing persisting environmental damages and health crisis in certain areas. Monsanto's also brought DDT, the pesticide that influences, that inspired Rachel Carson's Silent Spring and Agent Orange, used in the chemical warfare tactics of the United States against Vietnam that famously burned the skin off the Vietnamese civilians. Both chemicals are now banned in the United States and most countries. The second part to this is Monsanto is preparing for nay acceptance that GMO products to prove harmful. You see, the Monsanto Act, Protection Act, written in conclusion with success, in conclusion with Monsanto, demonstrated that in the company has to learn one thing is that it is possible that it is like to proven harmful and eventually to be banned. Scientists within and outside the FDA have expressed numerous concerns over the safety of GMOs and have been silent or discredited. However, in the history of this indication, widespread recurrence of proof that Monsanto's leading GMOs products are harmful to human health and ecosystem is imminent. The Monsanto's Protection Act here bars federal courts from prohibiting planting and selling GMO products, even in the future, protecting previous GMOs to be harmful to human health, demonstrates that this lesson has been well learned. Let's break that second one down, okay? Because I'm looking at Monsanto. Here has earned total equity, $11.716 billion of 2011 fiscal year. But it is a herbicide and pesticide company. You remember when I broke it down about the stem cell research and Monsanto's and how the parallels of these organizations and how they work? And then yesterday we talked about the seeds. No, we didn't go into the deep of the seeds, but we talked about the seedlings, okay? And that maybe this may be a point when I bring it up, because it's important that that you understand what's going on in these times, okay? Well, see, Monsanto's, they have basically basically monopolized all agriculture seeds and vegetable seeds, okay? They use a herbicide called galphytocytine that is produced and sold in a brand of weed chemicals called Roundup or Roundup Ready. These Roundup Ready seeds have that DNA code in them, so when they spread this Roundup on their crops, the weeds die, but the seeds or the crop is immune to it because it's already part of that system. We know, you know, maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this. Okay, so the technology has replaced the maize corn. They have taken over the soybean patent. They have taken over the cotton patent. They have taken over the sugar beet patent and canola plants in the United States. And you say to yourself, what's so wrong about that? Listen, you remember when there was a time when everything was filled with corn syrup? And then we start talking about Mexico and all the Mexicans coming all over. Listen, if you have not seen the movie Food, Inc., it's a documentary. If you have not seen that movie Food, Inc., I will recommend that you can go get it on Netflix. You can get it in any type of place. You need to go watch it because it will take you back and say, what in the hell is going on? What is going on? So check this out. Until it was stopped production in 1977, Monsanto's was a source of 99% of the polychlorinate bifenines, the PCBs, used in the United States industry. The PCBs were sold under the trade name such as Arcolor or Centamin. The centothine. The name centothine is still used in nine products. The PCBs are pesticide organism pollution. Such causes cancer in animals and likely in humans as well, among other health effects. So, people want to listen. Let me finish this part. Then they were known to be highly intoxicated from the beginning, but it was assured that they would not contain any products in which they would use. However, as leaks of transformations occurred, the toxicity problem arose near companies. This duration or debility of intoxication became widely recognized as a serious problem. The PCB production was banned by the United States Congress in 1979 by the Stockholm Convention and the Pestilence Organization of Pollution in 2001. But listen what I'm saying, y'all. Listen, this is what I'm saying. I said to my brother-in-law one day, I said, where do you think cancer comes from? And he said to me, well, cancer could come from, it was probably already here, and we just didn't know it was cancer. Okay. That's possible. I wouldn't count that out. But the point is, if cancer, this is 1977, so now, when did the outbreak of cancer started really being profound? You see, cancer when I was growing up, cancer started being really profound in the late 90s, in the mid 90s, late 90s, and the 2000s. Now it is just a boom, right? First it was AIDS, and then it was what? It was cancer. So, in how many generations does this evolution, and I hate to use that word, how does this organism that's been put in our systems or our body systematically become genetic? That's the question. When does the bad things that we ingest in our foods, in our bodies, the corporation's dismissal for human life, for the ecosystem, how many generations does it take to affect the human population genetically? Okay? So that means, that's why they said if your mother has cancer, you're more than likely to have cancer. If your family is likely to have cancer, you are more likely to have cancer. It's not always a solid streamline, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, look. They have the ingenuity of technology has been advanced more than we are led to believe. You see, because if in 1977 they were already putting things to get us ready for depopulation, okay, let me ask you, in 1977, who was the president? Okay, and we all know about Carter, Nixon, and Carter, and Henry Kissinger and his cabinet. They sold us down the river because they wanted to maintain control of the human population. So what did they do? They start letting these companies do whatever they want, not only here but abroad. They let them do whatever they want, and then we say nothing about it. And then when the depopulation of human beings starts to happen, they take it and they twist it on us, y'all. And listen, this is what I want to tell you. And I know y'all want to be angry at me when I'm going to say this, but who cares? I don't support. When they say give money to breast cancer and all that stuff, I don't support that. Don't support it at all. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not sympathetic. I'm not saying I don't give my money. But I don't give my money directly to them people. Let me ask you a question. I'm not going to guesstimate. I'm going to look it up. How much money annually does the Cancer Research Institution get? How much donations annually does the Cancer I ain't found nothing in the United States yet. You got some UK, but I ain't got no United States. Okay, let me ask another way. Because I want y'all to understand this. Not only, listen to what I'm saying. The National Cancer Institution, okay? It says, what is the NCI's budget for a fiscal year of 2010, how much the budget changed in the few years. The NCI budget fiscal year 2010 was $5.1 billion, exceeding an additional $1.3 billion in American Recovery and Reinstitution Investment Act fund received by the institution and spending in the fiscal year of 2009 and fiscal year of 2010. Overall, the NCI's budget has been relatively flat in the recent years. During the period of 2005 through 2010, the NCI budget averages $4.9 billion per year. Okay. So let me just say this to y'all, ladies and gentlemen. They are saying that the National Institution for Cancer, the National Cancer Institution, gets an annual $5.5 billion in 2010. Okay, so they got a breakdown. I'm going to tell you, it's cancer, www.cancer.gov. Okay, do it yourself. This is what they say. And I know this is an old chart, but apparently they haven't updated their site. Cancer type, they have lung, prostate, breast, colostomy, bladder, melanoma, whatever you pronounce that, non-Hodgkin, lymphoma, kidney, thyroid, and urine. Okay? So, in 2010 spending, this is in million dollars. Lung got $281.9 million. Prostate got $300.3 million. Breast got $631.2 million. Colorectal got $270.4 million. Bladder got $22.6 million. Mesothelioma got $102.3 million. Non-Hodgkin's got $122.4 million. Kidney got $44.6 million. Thyroid got $15.6 million. And the urine got 14.2. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that if you don't want to give your monies, not to give it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it at all. If you want to give your money so you feel good about you because you know other people have done that, that's fine. Do what you got to do. But all I'm simply saying is this. The federal government gives billions of dollars. I'm telling you. Let me go a little deeper. So we already know that they get five in 2010. It always goes up. It's been 3 years now, so they're probably getting maybe six, maybe seven billion dollars. But we don't know. Okay, we don't know. Pink ribbon. The Pink Ribbon Annual. We got to break this down. We got to find out what's the nitty and the gritty, y'all. You got to know what's going on. Okay, so it's called the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. This is the most popular one, I guess, the one with the pink ribbon. It's a nonprofit organization that was founded in Dallas, Texas. They said that in 1982, she spent through 2010 $1.5 billion for breast cancer research. Y'all, I'm telling you, I'm not gonna be negative. But once again, I tell you this. There's an activity chart here. This activity chart from 2009 to 2010 expenses. They've got a 20.9% research, public health education 39.1%, which is the largest piece of the pie. Health screening services 13.0%, treatment 5.6%, fundraising costs 10%, administrative costs 11.3%. Listen, it's just my opinion. But let me see what they say. Okay. That same fiscal year, in 2009 to 2010 fiscal year ending March 31st, 2010, the report approximately $400 million in earnings. Of this, $365 million, 91.3% came from contributions from the public, including donations, sponsorships, race entry fees, and contributing goods and service. Approximately $35 million, 8.8% came from interest and dividends and gains on interest. Wow. $35 million came off the interest from the stock market. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They making money off y'all. Okay, all right. Who getting the money, y'all? That's my question. Who getting the money? Okay, somebody needs to do some research. Somebody needs to go break this wide open. That same fiscal year, it was reportedly approximately the U.S. Dollars, $360 million in expenses. $283.2 million went towards the program. Okay, well, I'm a little slow, so let me pull up my calculator. Okay, so you got 360 minus 283. That means $77 million. Missing? Huh? Okay, let's break it down then. $75.4 million, that's the 20.9% of total expenditures for research. There was $140.8 million, which is that 39% that went to public health education, and $46.9 million, 13% went to health screening services. 20.1 million dollars, 5% went to treatment services, and the other 76.8 million went to supporting services, including 36.1 million, 10% towards expenditures towards fundraising costs, and 40.6 million, 11.3% towards general and admission costs. The CEO salary for 2010 was $459,406 a year. And in 2010, the CEO got less than that, which is good, because she shouldn't be making that kind of money anyway. I mean, there's one thing to run a corporation. Because, listen. And I know y'all going to get mad at me, but this is my point of view, y'all. For real. Why are we donating to this organization, which I have no idea how many lives they're saving? So I'm not coming down on it as a negative. But what I'm saying is this. They spend more money for public health education than they do, because the public health education is important, but they spend $140.8 million, which is 39%, and they only spend $20.1 million, which is 5.6% went to treatment services. Now, let me say something that's obvious, ladies and gentlemen. No, you know what? I'm going to tell the truth. That's what I do, because the truth is why they set you free. How many men and women are out there today that you know? That have to go through cancer treatment and they do not have insurance. And if they don't have insurance, shouldn't some of this money that's been donated by the general population, been, what do they say? How do they say? They've got donations. This is for breast cancer, y'all. Okay, this is for breast cancer. They got it for the breast cancer awareness. So on top of the donation money that's already going to breast cancer, plus the other $5.1 billion that's going to cancer research, add on to the research $140.8 million. Sorry. $75.4 million that's going to research to the already. I hope I did not change that. Oh man, I did. Let me go back. Okay, where'd it go? Since breast cancer was funded, let's see, breast cancer. They were given $75 million to are already given by the government, $631 million to breast cancer alone. So, I like I said, I know y'all gonna try to beat me up about this, y'all. But listen, it is what it is. You can say what you want. It doesn't. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. All I'm simply saying is they give us cancer. They've been giving us cancer for a long time. They've been making it genetically known. People have been dying of cancer. And then they tell you, please give your money. Listen, please give your money to us, because we need your money in order for these people to survive. Well, first of all, you're not giving any money to the people to survive. You're spending more money on fundraisers and all these other things that has nothing really to do with curing the disease. I mean, how long do we have to look for a cure? I mean, I don't know. How long do we have to look for a cure for AIDS? Maggie Johnson don't have HIV no more. Y'all better look that up. And I'm sure you're saying, well, you know, there's people out there who have died, and you know they're rich and all that stuff. And if they would have saved themselves and all that stuff. Listen, they haven't found a cure, but all I'm saying is you've got to be conscious on where you're spending your money and who you're giving your money to. Because you work too hard to give your money to an organization that is not treating your money right. So once you the money leaves your hand, no, you're not supposed to, you know, be like, well, you need to spend your money here, spend your money there. But my mother-in-law has been a cancer-surviving patient twice in her life. Don't have insurance, and she's still paying for the bills. No, we're not asking the government to help out, because it's not a government issue. The issue is this. If you're going to give money, treat the people right with the money. They deserve it. They deserve it. See, I don't quite understand how we as Americans get so worked up about all kinds of things. And when somebody brings out the truth or something that makes them really stop to think or question what's going on, they get mad at you. Why can't you just accept the truth for the truth? And if you can't, if you cannot deal with it, then that's totally up to you. But you've got to be a person enough to say, yeah, that just don't sound right. And it's okay to say that. It is totally okay to say that. What's not okay is to know that it's the truth, and then you be like, well, you know, it ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, I wish we could all get along to get along. Well, that's true, too. But this is not the world that we live in. Not the world that we live in. And you probably ask, why does George Beverly spend so much time doing this kind of stuff? It's because, I've got kids. You've got kids. What's going to go into the next generation? Who's going to protect them? Who's going to let them know the real deal? It's kind of like when you first start to go want to go date a person, and then the person is cheating on their wife, and they don't know, and you don't know that you're cheating on them, and they didn't tell you they was married. And you mad at them because they're married, because you didn't give them a choice whether you wanted to hook up with them or not? Or you go and buy a used car, and that the used car salesman knows that car's a lemon. And he didn't tell you that. You drive it off the lot, you're all excited, you got a new car, a used new car. 3 days later, it breaks down. You're going to be upset, won't you? Why? Because you already put your money and invested your money that you know you're going to have to pay for at least 5 to 6 years, and the piece of junk don't work. Not only on that, but now you got to put more money into it than it's worth. So then you feel like you were gypped, right? You feel like you were taken advantage of. That is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. And you should be upset that they are taking advantage of us. Come on, they're taking advantage of us. I don't think necessarily, you know, how you feel about what's going on or whatever. But the reality is this. It is uncool for a government to treat us the way that we are, and then all of a sudden says, well, fend for yourself. Make it better. We need you to make it better. We need you to give the money to the whales. We need you to give the money to the dogs and the cats, to the human beings who haven't eaten in 3 years. We need this stuff. We need it, y'all. No. First of all, let's where were you, huh? Where were you when all this stuff was happening? To me, that's a question. Are you going to continue to let it be like it is? Or are we going to stand up and fight? And I said this yesterday, y'all. Listen, it is the point of no return. Because when you give up your rights, you give up your rights. It is that fight or flight mentality. All right, let me keep it moving then. All right. I need to get to this eminent domain thing. First, I'm going to tell you what intimate domain is, and then I'm going to tell you about the garbage that's going on. Like I said, I do current events, but this is one I got to talk to y'all about because this goes right in line of what I was talking about. Okay, ladies and gentlemen? Right in line what I'm talking about. I saw this on Facebook, and this comes from Future Earth Eco Tribes on Facebook, and it says, "Let me first do this. Intimate domain, United States and the Philippines, compulsory purchase, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Ireland." Resumption compulsory acquiry, which is Australia. Is the power to take private property for public use by the state. Let me say it again. Intimate domain, compulsory purchase, acquisitions, compulsory acquisitions, is power to take the private property from the public for public use by the state. However, it could be legally by the state by manipulations, government subdivisions, or even private person or corporation when they are authorized to exercise functions to public character. The property may be taken either for government use or for deliberating to a third party who has devoted it to public or civil use or in some cases economic development. The most common use of property taking by intimate domain are the government buildings and other facilities, public utilities, highways, and railroads. However, it may also taken for reasons of public safety, as in the case of Centralia, Pennsylvania. Some jurisdictions require that the commandeer often to purchase the private property before renovating it to use intimate domain. The term intimate domain was taken from a legal treaty, De Jour Belli et Plaça, written by Dutch jurist Hugo Jurtos, in 1625, which used the term Domini in Mentis, Latin for supreme lordship, and describes the power of the following. The property, the property of subjects is under the intimate domain of the state, so that the state are he who acts for it may use and even alienate or destroy such properties, not only in the case of extreme necessity, in which even private persons have a right over a private of others, but the ends of the public utility, to which ends those who found civil society, but most supposed to have intended that private ends should be given away. But it is to be added that when this is done, the state is bound to make good loss of those who lose their property. Such U.S. states use the term appropriation in New York or expropriation in Louisiana, a synonym for acting out intimate domain. Okay, so I'm gonna keep reading this because it's very, very, very interesting. Because I want y'all to understand, when you say you got power and you say the government can't do this, you say we're protected by the Constitution, you say, okay, all right, I'm going to keep going. The United States Constitution, the practice of the commendations was transplanted into American colonies with the common law. In the early years, unproven land could be taken without conception. This practice was accepted because the land was abundant that it could be used cheaply to replace. When it came to draft the United States Constitution, differing views on eminent domain was voiced. Thomas Jefferson favored eliminating all remnants of feudalism and push for ideology owned. John Madison, who wrote the Fifth Amendment to the United States of America Constitution, had a more modern view and struck a commission that sought to at least protecting property rights somewhat by exposing, mandating conception and using the term public use rather than public purposes or public interest or public benefit. The Fifth Amendment imposes limitations on the exercising of eminent domain. The taking must be for public use and compensation must be paid. Some historians have suggested that these limitations on taking power were inspired by the need to permanent the army of secure mounts and furloughs, provisions, and in the location of ranchers, and in perceiving needs to assure that the compensation of such takings. The Third Amendment was enacted in 1791 as part of the United States Constitution Bills of Rights. It provided that the quartering of soldiers on public property could not be taken place in peacetime without the landlord's consent. It also requires that the in wartime established law has to be found in the housing troops on private property. Possibly this would mandate just compensation, a requirement for exercising the intimate domain in general per the Fifth Amendment. The U.S. states have legislation specifically specifying eminent domain procedures within the specific territories. The power of the government has taken private rule and public property has always existed in the United States, but an inherent attribute of sovereignty. Okay. The Supreme Court has constantly deferred the right to the state to make their own determinations to public use, although the reason why the constitutional term public use should not be subject to federal jurisdiction interpretation like other constitutional terms have been used to explain. In 1832, the Supreme Court ruled that eminent domain can be used to allow a mill owner to expand his dam and operations by flooding upstream's neighborhood. The court's opinion stated that the public use does not have to mean public occupation of the land. It can mean public benefits. Y'all don't understand it and you don't get it. You don't get it. Important that you see. So let me throw this at you, right? Well, hold up. On January 23rd, 2006, the first anniversary of King Law decision, President George W. Bush and Executive Order 13406, that's Executive Order 13406, was stated in Section 1 that the federal government must limit its use of taking private property for public use, which just compensation, which also states in the Constitution, for the purpose of benefiting the general public. The order limits that this use by stating that it may not be used for the purpose of advanced economic interest of public parties to give ownership or use of the property taken. However, eminent domain is more than exercising a local or state government funds obtained by the federal government. So the reason why I went through that is to tell you this. Yesterday in Texas, a 78-year-old Eleanor Fairchild was arrested on Eleanor's own land along with Daryl Hannah. Why? Trans Canada took some of Eleanor's land by eminent domain to build a pipeline. Yes, a foreign corporation was allowed by Texas government to use eminent domain against citizens of the United States. Now, if you go to my website, because it's on there, you should see this poor lady. I mean, the lady is 78 years old. The reason why I told you about eminent domain is so now you got to understanding of what it is, right? And understand that the government under the Third and the Fifth Amendment has put stuff in there. George Bush Jr. throw in this eminent domain thing, and it can only be so now. They're saying that a Canadian, let me get my facts straight. Trans Canada Trans Canada, okay. Making sure. Trans Okay, so – Okay, so now I got something. See, I don't like getting old information, but this was older information. So apparently it's called Keyline, but let me first. Canada Corporation is a major North American energy company based in Canada, developing and operating energy interfaces in North America. Its pipeline networks include approximately 5,000 kilometers, 601 miles of pipeline, and connects the virtually all major gas supplies in North America. TransCanada is one of the continent's largest provider for gas storage and related source services of approximately 350 billion cubic feet of storage space. TransAtlanta includes up to 56 separate eminent domain acts against landlords, owners in Texas, South Dakota, who have refused to give permission to the company to build the Key Line pipeline. Okay? So on September 27th, 2012, protesters began tree sitting in the path of Keystone Pipelines in Winsboro, Texas. 8 people stood in front on tree platforms just ahead of where the crews were cutting down the trees to make a way for the pipeline. In October 4th, 2012, this happened about a year ago, actress and activist Daryl Hannah and a 70-year-old landowner, Eleanor Fairchild, was arrested for criminal trespassing. Y'all get that, y'all? Criminal trespassing on their own land. Craziness. Other charges after they were accused of standing in front of the TransCanada pipeline construction equipment for Fairchild's farm in Winsboro, a town with 100 miles east of Dallas. Ms. Fairchild has owned the land since 1983 and refused to sign any agreement with TransAtlanta. Her land was seized by eminent domain. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? Huh? What's going on? The only thing I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that all those scary little monsters y'all talk about the Democrats and the Republican, they talk about Obama's this, Obama's that. We say that about every president that get up in there. Nobody, like the Republicans don't want to like this person, they don't like this person. But let me tell you this. Let me play this for you.
They had 3 major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer says, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people mm-hmm. do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the next thing, the three-parts policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he is talk about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this: that it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was the strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Father Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of the great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert. Three capacities.
All right, the reason why I play that, y'all, is to get y'all back in focus. Get you back in focus to what's really going on in the world. The last few days, I'm gonna kind of wrap this up in a few, but I want to give you an idea of where I'm going with this. We talked about mind control. We talked about depopulation of the world. We talked about synagogue magic. We talked about the powerful families. I briefly talked about going to see the movie, going to YouTube and see the movie, The Brotherhood of the Bell. Dick Gregory said some great things earlier this week on Monday about how the CIA and Hoover, President Hoover, tried to kill him. how they assassinated King. Listen, I played that clip to make you understand that one thing and one thing only. We need to start getting ourselves ready spiritually. You may not believe what I'm saying, but like I said, if you buy a car, you put your money down. You put a $2,000, you put your income tax check down on this car, this used car. You drive off the lot. And it breaks down on you in a week, you're going to feel not only defeated, but cheated. And then you do only, there's only two things in our human nature that we know how to do. Either we fight or we flight. That means you stand up and say, I want my car to be fixed, I want my money back, blah, blah, blah. Or you say, you know what, maybe I should have made a better decision. That's my fault. That's my bad. That's what I need to do next time I buy a car. And then you continue to be a good stewardess and pay your note until you get it off your credit report, because there's nothing you can do about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the position that we in. Okay, fight or flight right now, y'all. You see, what they did to us in the 60s, and I'm not only talking about the Negroes. I'm talking about my white brothers and sisters, my Mexican brothers and sisters, and everything as well. See, what they did to us in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, they took that. See, let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, real quick. When we talk about a historical period of time of American history, we always revert back to two times in history. We either talk about the Civil War, or we talk about the Civil Rights Movement. When we talk about history, those are the two things that come pop up, I hear, all the time. The Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement. So when you think about the Civil Rights Movement and what the Civil Rights Movement meant for humanity, not only for black people, but for all colors of people, even white people, what it did for America is we as people of the United States of America made the government enforce what they say they stood for. But what happened in the 70s? What happened in the 80s? What happened in the 90s? There was no fight left. No fight from the black community. No fight from the white community. No fight from the Mexican community. Okay, so when we did have the L.A. riots in 90, they was done with the LAPD. Now, why is it the LAPD not only helped destroy by J.R. Hoover, President Hoover, by the CIA? They helped destroy the Black Panthers in L.A. Rodney King got beat by the LAPD. There's such a bad feeling in the LAPD. Now Chris Donner went and tried to do something and report him, then he got looked at as a criminal. We talked about that too. Yeah, if you haven't heard it, you got an opinion about it, look at my, yesterday we talked about it. But this is what I'm saying now. I'm saying now, we've got other countries coming into America and saying, look here, we want your land. They're not even an American-based company. How can it not? And I read to you eminent domain and what eminent domain is in the third and the fifth amendment of the Constitution of the Bill of Rights, saying that the state does have proper have the right to give do eminent domain, but the people must be cooperative, and they must give them compensation. According to the article, Miss Fairchild was arrested. Her and Daniel, Daryl, his name is Daryl, was arrested and taken to prison, booked, And then they was charged because they stood in front of their land because they would not give up their land. They said that she owned it since 1983. It is 2012. She's got some memories on that land. She's 78 years old. She didn't want to sell her land, but they arrested her, put her in jail, and said, we're taking this land for this pipeline. And we're talking about, Obama taking money from the rich? Sound like Robin Hood to me. Oh, now's the issue. Obama's a money thief. But when the Republicans, But when the greedy corporations were letting greedy corporations and greedy banks were letting these minority people go and buy these high interest loans on homes, it was okay. Oh, that's not a problem. It's just their homes. It's just a credit. No, that is an issue. It's still being affected today. We are in a recession, but black people, Mexican people, we've always been in a recession. We know how to handle it. Now the Tea Party is complaining because they are being targeted from the IRS. Listen, black folks have been targeted by everybody in this country since we've been brought to this country. So is it fair? No. But when it's been done to you, you shouldn't cry, because when we were saying this stuff was going on, these things were happening, you're telling us these things didn't even exist. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are an American, listen, I'm going to talk to you because I am American. I served in the United States Army. Okay. What I'm saying is this. If you are an American, we cannot be wishy-washy on justice. Either you're going to stay, what I can say is this. If you have conservative views, that's okay. If you have liberal views, that's okay. If you are in the middle, that's okay. It is fine to be from right to left in all spectrums of all issues. You know why? Because we're human. We're human. We're brought up in our families, and our families have codes of ethics. And in our code of ethics, in our family, and in our norms, in our communities, we think a certain way and we act upon it. There is nothing wrong with that. So if there's a racist skinhead who don't like black people based off of what he's heard about black people and what they do, that's fine. He is allowed to think that way. We can't judge him from that. Has he been around black people? Has he lived in a black community? Now, let me tell you the difference between living in a community of poverty and living in a community of poverty and being a minority. You could be white and you could be poor as trash. But the reality is you're still white. You still got white privileges. You're not going to get followed around a store. If you are black and you grow up in a black community and you grow up and you walk in stores, you're going to get followed because you're black or Mexican. So, you know, you don't see black people going to be like, all right, well you probably do, but you don't see them out there protesting, all whites must die and all that stuff. Black people ain't doing that. Because we probably hadn't forgave what happened in the past. We've moved on, but listen, my white brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that you're not on our side, but when you got 400 years of an advantage over a certain race, the scales kind of tip. Okay, you say, let's say fine. Let's say that we're equal right now, right? If you take a black thug and you take a white thug, and you take this white thug and black thug and you put them in going into the store, and I want y'all to watch who they follow. They're going to be wearing the same clothes, the same giddy-up. I guarantee they're going to follow you-know-who. But that's nor here nor there. My point is this. The deception of the devil is real. He's got us wound up in a tizzy over all these different issues. And the reason why all these issues are issues is because his dominions that worship him, that is fulfilling his agenda, they have got to do what they need to do. Now, I want y'all to listen closely. Follow along with me and tell me if this sounds familiar. Once upon a time, there was a prince, and the prince was lonely. He was highly educated, but he could not find a place to lay his head. And then came a fair maiden. And the maiden bumped into him, but he had no idea who the maiden was. For she looked like she was from Flea Bottom, and he's from Highborn. But nevertheless, he thought she was beautiful. Okay, I'll quit the story. The reason why I wanted to say that is because we're living in a fairy tale world, y'all. We think that everything will have a happy ending. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry to tell you, but unless you got Jesus in your life, it may not be happy for a lot of people. I'm just being real. I'm not spitting fire and brimstone. I'm not preaching or nothing like that. What I'm saying is you got to pick that side. Remember we talked about fight or flight? The fight is standing for the righteousness of Jesus. The flight is turning your back or being lukewarm to God. But I'm not here to judge you. You do what you want to do. That's what I said about the skinhead. Let's go back to the other point. The point of this. If you are an American and based off of American values, then it's okay to be who you want to be. Who cares if Obama is a Muslim? Because last time I checked, we had the freedom of religion. And last time I checked, we did have a Mormon running for president. I mean, really, I mean, is that not an issue? Okay, well, whatever. You have got Obama. Okay, we did talk about President Obama's daddy, right? We talked about President Obama's daddy earlier this week. President Obama's daddy was accepted in the world of the secret societies because he's part of the Alpha, the Theta Beta Kappa fraternity, which is connected to Skull and Bones. He's not in the Skull and Bones, but that is a secret organization with special people with special privileges. That's why when they start talking about Ashley Judd running for governor, it's not a surprise. Why? Because she's part of, let me pull up the list and tell you what year she's from, what year she became part of the Alpha, let's see here. Don't want to lie to y'all. I want to give y'all factual information. Okay, here, should be coming up pretty soon. See, Condoleezza Rice was there. Denver, 1974. You also got Jeb Bush of Texas, 1973. You got Susan Collins. George Stephanopoulos of Columbia, 1982. I'm sure there's other names that hadn't jumped out to me. I got to do some more research on them. Ashley Judd, University of Kentucky, 1990. Uh-huh. What's she doing on there? Bobby Jindal, Brown University, 1993. He is the governor, now governor of Louisiana. And you're saying, how can a person of Indian origin become the governor? It's not about what you know. It's who you know. Peyton Manning, the football player, the great quarterback, the Indianapolis Colts, University of Tennessee, 1997. So, like I said before earlier, listen, when Peyton Manning's done with football, you better watch out for him because he's going to be rising through the ranks. Listen, he has made a pivotal career as a football player. So everybody knows who Peyton Manning is, just like President Reagan. President Reagan went from a movie star to the presidency. How does that work? Same thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He goes from the making Terminator, everybody knows who he is, and he becomes governor. Which both of those presidents that I just named was backed and funded, their campaign was funded by the Rockefeller Corporation or Foundation. Who are the Rockefellers? We've talked about them. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't be blinded by what the media stirs up to be give you the hype. Because they're going to give you what they want to give you. They're going to give you something that's emotional. They're going to give you something to make you so upset about either you like it or you don't like it. And they'll pile on that for a couple of days, and then it all will go away, right? But at the end of the day, there's still questions that goes unanswered. And those is when we as intelligent Americans, whether you're educated or not educated, you can go look up this stuff and find out for yourself and try to connect the dots. Now, it depends on the documentation on how long government documentation will be released to the public. I believe it's to be 30 years because President Reagan was asked about Martin Luther King, and if Martin Luther King was a communist, he used to say, well, we'll see in 30 years. Right? So, what he's saying was, is the documentation that the CIA and the FBI and the Intelligence Department had on King, it would be revealed. Just like the documentation that's being revealed about the COINTELPRO, okay? This stuff was revealed. A lot of stuff is blacked out if you go look at the original document, but you can still look at it, okay? I don't know what was said, but all I know is there's been warfare between, there's that shadow. And the reason why I'm using shadow is because that's how the devil works. He uses that shadow government, that mind control. You heard what the gentleman said about that, Roger Mormon said. He said there's three key elements. How can the devil destroy the Bible without burning it, y'all? You ever thought about that? Let's break this down. How many people out there believe in evolution? How many people out there believe there's dinosaurs? How many people believe that the Mayans and the Incans just disappeared off the face of the planet? How many people believe that the human beings were delivered from alien races on the planet? I mean, you hear all these kind of things. How many people say, I don't believe in the Bible because the person who wrote the Bible, King James, the King James Version, was an evil, cruel man? Now, let me ask you a question. It's a real question. When did a king ever write something? He got one of his subjects or scribes to rewrite the Bible, but he never wrote it himself. So when you make accusations like that, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be on point when you make those kind of things. So, yes, he probably was. I don't know nothing about it. I'm not going to go look it up. It don't bother me. Because the deception is if you don't have faith in the beginning, that is the essence of believing in Jesus. If you do not have faith the size of a mustard seed, then there's no problem. Then you don't have to worry about nothing. Because the reality is this. If you don't believe, you don't believe. But I also mentioned it's a fight or flight type of situation. People say, I don't believe in the Bible because humans wrote it. Okay? But you believe that, I'm about to say this and I got to chuckle. But you believe that the scientist says that Pluto is a moon and no longer a planet, and you believe that. Pluto has been here before we even look through the stars. So for you to go and say, well, you know, Pluto's not a planet anymore, it's a moon. Listen, if they can rewrite the solar system, because we don't know. Matter of fact, have we ever been back to the moon? When was the last human being to walk on the moon? I'll wait. Go on, do your research. We ain't never been to the moon, y'all. We have never been to the moon. Every time we sent somebody into space, we have not even gotten close to the moon. And when we were, they used words like the Challenger. Who are they challenging? The Challenger. Then not only did they call it the Challenger, but they also put a teacher in the Challenger. And the Challenger was good to go, and then all of a sudden it blew up. Well, that story sounds like the Tower of Babel to me. I'm just saying. So we spend trillions of dollars sending space orbs and all these different things into space, and we got people who are hungry, who have no place to live, who are suffering from cancer, who are suffering from AIDS, who are suffering from syphilis, who are suffering from all these different things on this planet that we could cure and solve, but we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves. And the deception of the devil is to cause confusion. You remember when we were talking about cynical magic and some of the terms we're using was used for chaos? And so when you take the chaos and you pinpoint it to where the people are these days, we're living in a chaotic society. Everybody's afraid of everybody. They use fear and emotion to get us to believe in certain things. And that's why I said that we must come together based off of love and Jesus alone. Don't judge, because we're not to judge. Since when should we persecute somebody in the streets when they have not gotten due process? Everybody in America, if you want American, you want due process. Why? Because you want to be able to tell your side of the story. But when they go and they take somebody like Chris Darner and say that he's a cop killer, kill them all, and don't question him, or they got somebody like Osama bin Laden, they catch him, he's alive, then he gets shot, and don't question him. But they, all his flunkies, all the people who don't really have not a clue who bin Laden is, in Guantanamo Bay, they still got him down there, waterboarding him, electrocuting him, shocking, pulling their fingernails, pouring salt in their eyes, and all this other stuff. And it's okay. We as Americans are okay with that. When President Obama is dropping drones, dropping bombs and with drones on innocent civilians, regardless if there's a terrorist there or not. Listen, we were told when we were in Iraq, we could not fire our weapon unless it's fired upon. Question mark. You've got innocent civilians in a 1,000-mile radius. I'm going to use civilian terms, so, because I was going to say quick. But at a 1,000-mile radius, one-mile radius, that's where the enemy is, but the blast from the bomb is a 2-mile radius. That's including the blast radius, ladies and gentlemen. So the bomb goes down, blows up about a mile, and then you've got the percussions or the concussions that the blast that happens after that, right? It's not only just that person being affected, but we're talking about business, shops, kids, stores, all kinds of stuff. And we're okay with that? We should not. That's not justice. We are not executors, and we frown upon executors. We do, right? Because that's the reason why we went to go see Saddam Hussein, because he killed his subjects. But Saddam Hussein was able to go on trial. Why? Because he was a flunky. He was a 33-degree Mason. just like all the other lackeys they put in office. All of them that's being killed right now. And if you notice the pattern, all these foreign countries, all these people are dictators. All of a sudden, they rule with the iron fist. They must be taken out. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. The reality is all these people are connected. They're either part of the Masonry. They're probably all Masons. I don't know. They're probably part of a secret society. But believe me, all of them are connected. All of them. All of them are connected. And so when we start to build a case against the government saying that the deception of the devil was real, and we don't fight flesh and blood, but fight the spirit, that's what Martin Luther King was about. Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. You see how I snuck up on you like that? You see how I snuck up on you? You see how I snuck up on you like that? Yeah, I snuck up on you. Oh, yes, I snuck up on you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so when Martin Luther King decided he was called to do his thing, right? And he went at a different angle than what people used to. He went at them with Jesus. He did, y'all. Listen to this. I got a few minutes left. He went at them with Jesus. How did they react? Oh, my God. He followed Mahatma Gandhi being peaceful, going there still, solid-minded. And I'm not saying it was easy, but look at the essence, the strength. That Martin Luther King used to persuade public policy. See, he used, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, of spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. Martin Luther King did that, changed public policy. That's why they didn't like Martin Luther King. He had to die. Because the Spirit of the Lord was flowing. Let me say this, y'all. This is what he used. He said he used love. He used joy. He used peace. He used forbearing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Now, let's look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Because I've played Martin Luther King. I played him. And he says, when it's time to march, he said, it is important that you leave your jobs to support one another. Martin Luther King was also a Mason. But, you see, he let the Lord use him. conservative. So was Jesse. So was all those other guys. That's why Jesse's still alive. He used the Spirit of the Lord to get his people right. The mind of the Lord needed to be with them as they marched, using forbearance, faithfulness, steadfastness. They're using self-control, ladies and gentlemen. Could you imagine yourself right now being beat with a baton, being attacked by a dog, a German shepherd, being hosed by a hydrogen hose, having your head smashed in or kicked in, handcuffed and beat and lynched, taken to prison, because all you want to do is have the same rights to eat at the table as another person? Does that make sense? So I ask you right now, you see, they've got our, I'm not saying all of them, but when the church don't have to pay taxes and when the church is involved in government issues and being controlled by the government to push their policies and their agendas, yes, the Christians have a lobbyist group on Capitol Hill. When you build these mega churches, when you put a McDonald's, an ATM in the church, so you have no excuse to pay the tithe or whatever, just go to the ATM, get somebody out of it. They're using your money to put it in there anyway. Stop and get you a little Coke. Stop and get you a little coffee. They got a little coffee shop. But listen, all that's fine. But where are the leaders? I'm talking about the spiritual clergy. Where are you? You're afraid. You're afraid to lose your job. You're afraid to stand up for rights and justice. You give a beautiful sermon on Sunday. You're howling and screaming and got the ghost in you. But you drive right past a homeless person. Where's your power when you need it? We are all messed up in the head, y'all. That's one thing. But God has forgiven us, even in our sins. Let's use the fruits of the Spirit to maintain a certain dignity and maintain a certain truths about ourselves that cannot be taken from us, because the Lord thy God has given it to us. For if he is for us, then there's no one against us. I can do all things through the name Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of you need love. A lot of you are looking for love in all the wrong places. You want to be comforted. He's a comforter. There is no situation that you can't get out of. Just be patient. Sometimes we got to just check ourselves and know that the medicine that we give ourselves in our minds is poison. And we just got to exercise that poison and get rid of it. I'll say this to you, my beautiful listeners. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the opportunity to do this show. And let me reiterate one thing too. Is this? I always say is whether you feel like my show is successful or not, it doesn't matter, because somebody's going to hear something that's going to make them go and do their own research, make them go and fall on their knees to praise God, because God allows everybody to find him and know him in different ways, different situations, and different periods of times in their life. And that's okay. I don't have to fight for Jesus. He's been here before I was here. He's going to be here after I die. I don't need to fight for him. He can fight for himself. I'm going to put out what he needs me to put out, but I mean, I'm not going to sit there and argue if you believe in him or not. That's simply up to you. If you don't believe it and you believe whatever, just remember, the deception is to destroy the Bible without even having to burn it. So if you don't believe in God, the devil is winning and doing his job. Simple as that. I couldn't put it any easier or any plainer than that. And I want to say that I love you people out there, even the ones that I don't know. I mean, sometimes people can't take me, can't swallow me, but that's okay. I'm not for everyone. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm George Beverly. Next time I hear you, you should be signing off. Good night.